job. Have some water there too.
It's good to be here today. Thankful for Brother Butler and his friendship, and thankful for some familiar faces, folks that I've met over the years coming over here. Appreciate them, and then the rest of you. Good to see you. Amen. And you're wondering who this guy is up here preaching. Amen. And after those last two messages, I'm wondering that myself. We're going to be at church. Preacher mentioned it earlier and talked about the story. And on the way over here, this is all I could, all the Lord kept putting on my heart. And then the last preacher mentioned it. So we're going to talk about Paul in that chapter 14. I really do want to be a help to you this afternoon. And some time ago, I was preaching through the book of Acts a little bit at the church. And we were going through some things, just like everybody is. I'm not giving you a sob story, because everybody is. I understand that. And, you know, ministry is changing, but Jesus doesn't. But it's because people are changing. And I got to this chapter, and the Lord helped me through some things. And I haven't been pastoring near as long as the rest of these folks. And a lot of you men have been pastoring longer than I've been alive. And but I've been in our church 15 years. and just to be honest with you, the last probably 13, 14 months been some of the hardest ministry-wise we've done there. But the Lord helped me with this. And I just want to give you what he helped me with. Can I do that this afternoon? And this is what's on my heart. And I want to say, I appreciate Brother Barr driving me over here. He's my friend, and he is putting printing presses in the Philippines. And we need the Bible out there, don't we? Amen. And it costs a lot of money to ship Bibles. Y'all know that? A lot of money. And you put a printing press in there, you can save a lot of money. I appreciate what he's doing. And appreciate him driving me over here. We just got through with meeting, and I would have been here earlier, but for some reason my church thinks I need to be there when we're having a meeting. So we just got through a Jubilee last night, and God really met with us this week, and we do praise his name for that. And heard y'all had some good services. Amen. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. I've been praying for it. Acts chapter 14. Would you look with me? Familiar portion of scripture, and as the preacher earlier made reference to it, Paul has been preaching and just doing the will of God. Just doing the will of God, and he gets over here. People have been helped. People have been changed. God has been dealing with hearts and using Paul in a mighty way. And he gets over here, and as the preacher mentioned earlier, some women got stirred up and some folks got stirred up. And isn't it just like a bunch of folks, the preacher's trying to help them, and they pick a bunch of stones to throw at him. And that's what happens in chapter 14. We're going to read it right here in verse 19. We'll just read a couple of verses here. The Bible says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed from Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." Let's pray, and we're going to get started. Dear Heavenly Father, sure do love you. Thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for helping me through these two preachers already today. And Lord, it's been worth coming over here. And Lord, you have, Lord, just stirred my heart, helped me. And Lord, thank you for using them. God, now, I do ask, Lord, that you would help me. Lord, help me to help your people. God, I certainly can't do anything without you. I wouldn't want to, but I know I can't. The arm of flesh fails me every time. God, I need you this afternoon. God, I need you to speak through me. God, I need you to clear my mind. Lord, only have me to say what you'd want me to say. Lord, has already been said, Lord, I want to be a help. I don't want to be a hindrance. God, I ask that you would use me for just a few minutes this afternoon in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, there is a lot of people that God records their hurt. I mean, Moses got hurt because of people. Is that right? If y'all say amen, we'll go a lot faster. We'll be eating supper. I mean, he got the fat guy up here right before supper time. Amen. So, praise God. We'll go fast. Amen. The preacher said there wasn't a clock. I've got a clock right here. As soon as I start smelling it, we'll be out of here. Moses got hurt because of people. Jeremiah got hurt. You know why? People. David got hurt. All throughout Scripture, there's hurt that's recorded. Paul, in this chapter, is just simply doing the will of God. He's doing exactly what God told him to do. I'm reminded of Mark chapter 4. You'll remember the story. Amazing things have been going on through the first few chapters of Mark. You'll remember it. I mean, multitudes were gathering around Jesus. The things were happening. I mean, you find as he's going through Capernaum that, I mean, multitudes are being helped. People are being touched. You got things that are taking place that had never been taken place before. Jesus' name was being spread abroad throughout everywhere they went. And then the end of Mark chapter number 4, you know what Jesus told the disciples? Let's get in a boat and let's go to the other side. Everything was good. I mean, ministry was good, Brother Butler. Church house was full. Amen? And then the will of God, Jesus, said, let's go to the other side. And what hit him? Storm. I mean, in the middle of the will of God. Sometimes, in the middle of the will of God, things can hurt. Sometimes you can be doing exactly what you're supposed to do. Right smack in the middle of God's will. And storms take place. You can be doing exactly what you're supposed to do. Right where you're supposed to be, Paul. And all of a sudden, people start picking up stones. I mean, you're just doing what God has called you to do. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you'll turn around and people that you were trying to help will pick up a stone. You'll wonder, what you doing? I was just trying to tell you about the best thing that happened to me. And all of a sudden, they begin to throw those stones. Can I just say this, that rocks hurt? I mean, I got a brother that's 3 years younger than me, and he couldn't ever whoop me, can't even today. Somebody say amen. And I hope he don't see that. But what he used to do is he'd pick up a rock. And I've always been big, so I can't dodge real well. And I gave a good target. Rocks hurt. Rocks hinder. Rocks can be harmful. There's a lot of people that are sitting in churches just like this one. Yeah, even preachers that will stand behind pulpits just like that one that are just trying to serve God. And all of a sudden, a rock will be thrown. It can be the rock of criticism. Preacher, have you ever been criticized? Just every day. It can be rocks of hatefulness. It can be sometimes, no doubt, let's not pretend, sometimes it can be rocks of our own doing. Sometimes it's what we deserve. Amen? Sometimes it's our own filthy, rotten flesh, our filthy, rotten sin that causes our hurt. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes we'll just get up and preach every Sunday and every Wednesday. You'll just teach your Sunday school class. You'll just go knock on a door. You'll just be going to the nursing. You'll do all the different things that Christians do. And a rock will still get thrown your way. That's what happened to Paul. He's just doing what he's supposed to do. Doing what God has called him to do. And yet, right in the middle of all that, rocks begin to be thrown. I mean, look, I'm preaching to a bunch of seasoned people here. Most of you, you wouldn't be here on an afternoon service of Thursday. I had to think about what day it was. Thursday. Without being kind of a seasoned Christian. Sometimes it can be a rock of betrayal. Rocks come from all different directions, don't they? Sometimes they can come from somebody sitting in a pew. Sometimes it can be somebody in the community. Sometimes it can be your family. Can y'all help me? But all rocks hurt. And all you're trying to do is serve Him. All you're trying to do is do what God has told you to do. But these heavy, hard, hurtful, hindering rocks are thrown at you. There's not a man of God under the sound of my voice. There's not a Christian that is trying to serve Him that have not had some rocks thrown at you. Did He not promise us that that is what would happen? We could be of good cheer because He's overcome the world, but you will face tribulation. That's what He said. Hey, if you're going to live godly, guess what? You're going to suffer. Some rocks. Some stones. But can I just... And all that bad. Aren't y'all encouraged yet? Now I ask you this. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do with it? We've established where rocks are thrown. We know it. Sometimes behind you, sometimes right in front of you, sometimes you don't see it coming. Sometimes it's down the hall in the house. Amen. Hey, sometimes it's from the brethren. Amen. Sometimes it's when you're already down. Hey, they didn't stop throwing him when he fell. You know what they were trying to do? Kill him! People leave your church. They begin to criticize, just throw rocks out there. And then you're down already. I mean, they left. You're hurting already. Then more rocks and more rocks and more rocks and more rocks. What are you going to do? Well, preacher, from what I think, there's about three things you can do. Let me give you those real quick. Number one. Now, this is going to be deep because I'm from West Alabama. Number one, you can throw them back. You know what we're dealing with in our churches today? A whole bunch of people that's been hurt. And they're picking up the rocks. And they're chunking them back. People that sit in pews every Sunday. Bless God, they can't get anything out of the preaching because they're so busy trying to throw rocks at somebody else. Because they have been hurt. Can we all preachers, can we just take our halo off for a second? There's a whole lot of preachers that are mounting a pulpit every single Sunday, and because somebody's hurt them, because somebody's hurt their family, they can't wait to throw some rocks at somebody else. Okay, you've had some rocks thrown at you. Daddy, okay, you had a rock thrown at you. Mama, you had rocks thrown at you. Teenager, you had a rock thrown at you. Now what are you going to do? You're going to pick it back up. Throw it back? You're going to hurt somebody else? You've all heard the adage, hurt people hurt people. It's everywhere. From the pulpit to the back row. You get hurt so you can't wait to lash out. I'm telling you, it's not just in the world. It's not just in the workplace. It is happening in the pews of our Baptist churches. It is happening in the pulpits of our Baptist churches. We get hurt over and over again, and then we get so calloused, and we just can't wait to hurt somebody else. Ox are thrown. First thing you can do is throw them back. How about number two? Y'all are taking one so well. We'll go to number two. Second thing that kind of, you know, normally I preach this message two different times. And when I do it, usually I have my 15-year-old boy with me, and I like to throw rocks at him while I'm preaching it. It makes it so much more fun for me. You can throw them back. Number two, and I'm telling you, this is going to hurt us. But I want you to listen to me. As you're down there, hurt, sore, wondering why people are throwing rocks at you, you might throw them back, or you might pick them up and start keeping them. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" There's a whole lot of people that they are heavy laden. They are weighed completely down. They can't do anything for God. They can't shout anymore. They can't enjoy the singing anymore. They can't enjoy the preaching anymore. They can't do anything ministry-wise. They can't serve the God of heaven because they picked up so many rocks over time, and they have counted every single one of them. There's no doubt in my mind, because I have been preaching long enough to know this, there's people even in this room, you got a pocket full of rocks. It's called bitterness. It's caused you to be callous to the things of God. You can't weep anymore. You can't get a blessing at church anymore. Because there's been rocks thrown at you, and you've made sure you picked them up. There's people that picked up these rocks and they said, "Okay, this one was thrown by this person. I'll never forget it. This family member, they hurt me and I'll never forget it. This preacher said this and I'll never forget it. This church hurt me and I'll never forget it." And they're so weighed down, and God's trying to use them, and God wants to use them. They ought to be serving God. They ought to be doing something for God, but they can't because they're so weighed down with the rocks that were thrown at them. Hey, can I remind you? A lot of those rocks wasn't their fault. But it's their fault if they pick them up. Okay. So you had some rocks thrown at you. We all have. So now what are you going to do? You going to throw them back? That'll teach them, won't it? That'll show them. Let's throw them back. Let's make sure they're as hurt as we are. What are you going to do? Rocks are thrown at you. Mama, a rock's been thrown at you. Daddy, a rock's been thrown at you. So now what are you going to do? You going to pick it up? Mark on there, make sure you never forget it. Somebody hurts you. By the way, people will do that. Even the preacher. We're bound to. So what are you going to do? Pick it up. Put it in your pocket. That way. Oh, it'll be good. Because that way, Brother Barr, when you're real down, you can pick them all out. Start counting them. That'll help, won't it? No. You can throw them back. You can pick them up. Or, number three, you can just get up and walk on. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about what we need is a generation of preachers that don't let hurt stop them. What we need is some mamas and daddies that don't let hurt stop them. What we ought to have is some church members that will stop allowing hurt to stop them and will just get up when they get knocked down. They will get up and just move on for God. How many times in our churches is people just sitting there? Oh, yeah, they show up for church, but they're not doing anything else because somebody hurt them back there. How many times do preachers, oh, we still get behind a pulpit and we still do our duty, but we have no more delight. We can't serve Him with delight. We're just serving Him out of duty because we've been hurt. What we need in this generation is some preachers to just keep on going for God because He's worth it. Three things here, I'm done. Number one. Why should I get up? Number one, because the lost need to hear. Paul. Can we use our minds for a second? Mine's about half gone, so bear with me. But he gets stoned so badly, they think he's dead. And I know all you Bible scholars, maybe he's dead, maybe not, whatever. I don't care. It has nothing to do with the message. They think he's dead. So you know what that tells me? He looked dead. I've seen a lot of people that rocks have been thrown at them. And boy, they look dead spiritually. Oh, Paul, he's down. They have pummeled him with rocks. They think he's dead. You know what Paul did? I don't know how he did it, but he got back up. That's what your Bible says. He got up. Maybe it took a minute. Maybe it took some kind of supernatural strength. Maybe he had to slowly get up, and maybe that one leg tried to give out on him. Maybe he got up and an eye was hanging over here, and maybe his nose was over here. Maybe he's bloody from head to toe. I don't know exactly how he looked. I don't know exactly what he did, but I do know he got all the way up. And I'm telling you, we need some mamas and daddies who just get up. Maybe you're bruised. Maybe you're bloody. Maybe you've been hurt. But just get up and go on for God. Why? Because there's a lost person that needs to hear. I tell you, Paul got up and he went on back into town preaching like you said because there was some lost people need to hear about what happened to him on the Damascus Road. There was somebody else that needed to hear what happened to him. There was somebody else that needed to hear how God changed his life. And I'm telling you, preacher, you may have got knocked down. There may have been some rocks thrown your way, but just get back up and mount the pulpit Sunday. Hey, mama, get back up and teach Sunday school. Hey, daddy, get back up and teach your kids about God. Why? Because somebody needs to hear. There's lost need to hear. I'm telling you, we've got too many people that are bitter against God and have quit. Listen, my heart's burdened. My heart's burdened. I'm so tired. Preachers, I'm so tired of hearing about the next one that quit.
That's right.
And I'll just be as transparent as I can be. I'm so sick and tired of seeing people that have, they hadn't quit, but they quit. Do you understand? Church, we ain't got time for that. The trumpet's about to say, y'all believe that, don't you? We're about to get out of here. We don't have time for that. Our neighbors need to hear Jesus loves them. Our co-workers need to hear about Jesus. Hey, our families need to hear about Jesus. There's some lost people need to hear about Jesus. We don't have time to stay down. Paul got up because there's some lost that need to hear. Number two. Look, I almost made a joke about it a while ago, but it's a serious matter. I don't want to make a joke, but there's some disciples standing around him. Isn't that like a bunch of church members? Somebody gets knocked down, they're all, oh, yep, he's about dead. Poor old Paul. I knew that was going to happen. I told that preacher he better quit doing that. Look, he done made everybody mad. Is it okay if I take this off? I'm about to melt. I mean, you know, those people that, look, and they were the disciples. They were his friends. They were his followers. I mean, we're not talking about the lost people doing. Of course, they were looking at him, but the disciples just standing around. Oh, Paul, boy, he's a good one, wasn't he? Oh, hey, say a prayer over him. Maybe we can go get something to eat here in a minute. Isn't that right? Isn't that how everybody does? I told him he's going to make him women mad. He shouldn't have preached like that. I mean, I told him, it's always the women stirring stuff up. No offense, women. It's always, I told him. I knew it. Look with me in your Bible, will you? He got up because the lost need to hear. But the second thing, notice what he says in verse 22. Confirming the souls of who? Who? Saved people, right? And what? Exhorting them to what? Now help me, to what? Continue in the faith. What Paul did was get up because there's some lost people need to hear, but he also got up because there's a group of disciples needed him to get up. He needed to get up and teach them, hey, it's okay to get knocked down, but it's not okay to stay down. Can I say I got a 15-year-old boy that needs to see daddy and get back up? I got an 11-year-old girl that needs to see daddy and get back up. I got a 7-year-old girl that needs to see daddy and get back up. I got some church members need to see the preacher. Get back up. Hey, listen, in your life needs to see you get back up and go on for God. Listen, I'm just trying to help you. I'm just trying to help you. This is my heart. We got too many people quitting. We got too many people that are just sitting there not doing anything because a rock's been thrown at them. You're letting that crowd win. Grandma, you've been sitting too long. Your grandkids need to see you get back up. Hey, Paw, you got a grandbaby. They need to see you get back up. It's been a long time since you got happy in church. They seen you singing those songs with a smile on your face. It's been a while since you've been to an altar weeping. It's been a long time since you've been changed. Hey, and they need to see you get back up. Lastly, most importantly, the lost need to hear. There's lessons that need to be taught. Lastly, there was a Lord who was worthy. Amen. Friend, listen to me. If everybody at Faith Baptist Church quit tomorrow, I still have a Savior that I love who changed me. So I ought to get behind the pulpit Sunday if nobody else was there, because he is worthy. If my family left me, my Savior's worthy. Hey, if nobody showed up for church, my Savior's worthy. If everybody throws rocks at me, my Savior's worthy for me to get back up. I'll tell you why Paul got up. Oh yeah, maybe the loss had something to do with it. He had a burden for him. Of course, he wanted to teach the disciples a lesson. That ain't why he got up. As he's laying there, bloodied, sure. Bruised, yeah. Hurt, undoubtedly. Probably didn't even really want to. You know why he got up? Back out on Damascus Road, when he was a low-down, no-good, filthy, rotten, persecuting Christians.
Yeah.
The Savior of the universe came by his way. and stopped him in his tracks. He said, "Why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Paul, I got something for you to do." And his job wasn't finished yet. And the Savior that changed him, the Savior he met that day, he was worthy for him to get back up. Yeah. I'm done. Gotta come all this way. Maybe not everybody, but maybe somebody just needed some encouragement to get back up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I don't know what you want to do in the invitation. God, I believe I preached what you want me to preach. God, I ask that you'd have your way. We need you. We need the Christian army. As they get knocked down, just get back up. We need some brothers and sisters in Christ that have been hurt for a long time, just get back up. We need some old saints of God that have been hurt for a long time to get back up. We need some preachers' wives, some missionaries. Okay, rock's been thrown. Need them to get back up. God, I ask that you'd help us. Lord, I thank you for using me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Butler.
Come and pray. Get back up.